in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I love it. Woo! Amazing things are happening all around us. And, you know, look, the whole damn thing is a joke. Donald Trump is innocent. But that I love right now that it's blowing up right in the prosecutors' faces. They are being humiliated. Star witness Michael Cohen, we could have told these silly prosecutors from Washington, D.C. that you can't believe Michael Cohen, that he's a joke. Nobody takes him seriously. Donald Trump didn't take him seriously. That the guy's obviously demented and weird and unfortunately very, very dumb. So this just happened. Let me see here. I got this from a great source, Travis here. Trump's lawyers just absolutely destroyed Michael Cohen's character. He's the key witness in this entire trial. And not only is he a convicted felon, but now we know he was concocting schemes to get more money from Trump. Now, according to David Pecker, and this just came out during cross-examination, Cohen wanted him, David Pecker, to send paparazzi to a meeting that Cohen was having with Mark Cuban in an attempt to make Trump jealous and put pressure on Trump to treat Michael Cohen differently, with more respect.
Hey, could you send cameras to this meeting and then they will think that I am an important person? And then Donald Trump will treat me with more respect because he doesn't treat me right. He doesn't.
It's becoming increasingly obvious that Cohen has been a snake this entire time and would be willing to say whatever he can about Trump to get himself out of trouble. Who's ready for Cohen to take the stand against Team Trump? Oh, boy. And unfortunately, I hear that might not be for another month. Oh, can you imagine that? And this came out from David Pecker. David Pecker is another star witness for the prosecution. Donald Trump didn't call him. It was called by the prosecution. Let's see. What else? Oh, David Pecker. You know, he has a special agreement with the federal government. Don't prosecute him. Don't prosecute me. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, let's get to the bottom of some of that. Can we? Can we? Let's see. It looks like Trump lawyers were just questioning David Pecker on his non-prosecution agreement that he made in 2018 with the Southern District of New York. The agreement was for his cooperation in the Trump investigation. If he had cooperated, he wouldn't be prosecuted for any crimes related to it. At the same time, Pecker was trying to sell the National Enquirer. He agreed today that if he were under investigation in 2018, it would make his assets less valuable. The Trump team is presenting the argument that Pecker made an agreement with the federal government so he wouldn't be investigated and hurt the value of his company. You see? They're pressuring him. Can you imagine that? I forgot 2018 is a long time ago. It's 6 years ago this crap was happening. The FBI raided the home of a journalist. Might be a National Enquirer journalist, but he's a journalist nonetheless. And what do? They took his phone. Can you imagine handing your phone? I once had to have my phone. I had to turn my phone over. I didn't give it to the FBI. It was a long time ago, but I had to have everything extracted from the phone. It is a nerve-wracking thing. But I was right there in the room while they took everything. Alan Dershowitz told me that if the Founding Fathers had any sense whatsoever of a cell phone, they would have enshrined it like in the Fourth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, one of those amendments, unreasonable search and seizure. You can't go into somebody's phone. It's like going into somebody's brain. You can't do that. And they took his phone. And they also did that to Michael Cohen, the raid on Michael Cohen's house. All right. So he was under investigation. Oh, here's something else. Pecker, under cross-examination, testified that Trump did not want him to buy the Karen McDougal story, that he purchased it on his own after Trump told him not to. What the hell are we doing here anymore, right? I mean, isn't this the time for the judge to say, case dismissed? He has that power. What a slime bag. You know how much he hates Trump? Get this, too. I have this from a fake news source. And the fake news, you know, they're gunning. They want Trump to go down in all this. But even from my fake news source here, Katie Fang, during his cross-examination of Pecker, Trump's defense attorney, Emil Bove, B-O-V-E, it's pronounced Bove. That's what everybody on TV is. Yesterday I called it Bove. I guess it's Bove. Has been repeatedly referring to Trump as President Trump when referencing periods of time when Trump was not in office. The DA's office keeps objecting, and Judge Mershon keeps sustaining those objections. You can't call President Trump President Trump. Isn't that kind of like an honorific title that he keeps forever? Mr. President, Mr. President. He can't call him President Trump. Though these prosecutors are getting desperate. The judge is once again being revealed. Totally. Ugh. What are they going to do next? I fear, as I asked him last night, I don't know if you heard, but I interviewed him, had a nice long chat on the phone with President Trump. And are we ready? Do you have it all ready? Oh, what's wrong? We can't even get my interview with the president? I got six other clips from him. Well, I am going to play you the clip of him walking down the hall. Oh, you got my interview. All right. Well, let's listen to a little bit, shall we? It was on the phone. It wasn't in person. Sometimes it's, you know, something is lost in the phone, right? You know, you can't see each other, whatever. But great talk. Go ahead.
President Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, great to have you. How are you? How is today?
Today was great. We had a great about 6:30 in the morning. That was nice and early. And then we go to a fake trial, a disgraceful trial. And we had a very good day. I think we had a good day at the Supreme Court, too, on presidential immunity. And we had a trial that went on today in lower Manhattan. It's disgraceful. It's a disgrace. There's no crime. Nothing was done wrong. The opposite. Everything was done absolutely right. And that's coming out loud and clear. Jonathan Turley, Andy McCarthy, everybody that writes on it, including a lot of the folks at your great network. I don't think there's one that said this thing is legitimate. It's a political witch hunt. Alvin Bragg, you have crime all over the place, violent crime, and they've got 20 prosecutors and people from that office sitting there. It's a disgrace. But I think it's being shown for what it is, and I think we're doing very well.
It is wild what's happening. We don't want to get you in trouble with that that silly gag order. So, hey, I want to ask you, what was your read about the immunity case, the hearings? You were keeping updated, I assume, by your lawyers. What encouraged you? Because experts are saying that it was a pretty good day. Even the liberals might be going your way on that.
Yeah, well, you have to have immunity as a president. You can't do what you have to do and then all of a sudden get indicted and go through a process like I go through. You have to have immunity. You need presidential immunity to do the right thing. And sometimes you may do the wrong thing. I mean, that's possible, too. But you have to have immunity. Otherwise, your other side, if you think about it, and the other side, let's say you don't have immunity, they'll get everything they want. They'll say, when you get out of office, the first day out, we're going to go after you. You have to have presidential immunity or you're just not going to have a presidency anymore. You'll have a ceremonial president, not a real president. Mm. And, you know, ideally you're going to do all the right things. That includes going to war and ending wars and sometimes starting wars. And, you know, you have to make very tough decisions as president, but you can't be criminally tried if you make a mistake or if you don't make a mistake. You know, they'll try you if you don't make a mistake. So it's very important. And I heard the lawyers did a great job. I heard the justices were on their game, as the expression goes. It was a very, very good session. I wanted to be there, but, you know, I'm at a trial where the judge said you can't go to the Supreme Court because you're on trial. And I say, oh, that's not nice. That's not nice. But it's just one of those things. But I think we're showing a lot of people what's going on in this country. It's, you know, it's election interference, Greg. You've been covering it as well as anybody, better than anybody, and I appreciate it. But it really is strong election interference. This guy can't put two sentences together. He's the worst president in the history of our country. There's never been a president. Jimmy Carter is he's the happiest man around because he looks brilliant. His presidency looks brilliant by comparison to this guy, with millions and millions of people flowing into our country from prisons and from mental institutions and terrorists. And they're coming in like water, and he doesn't do anything about it.
It's wild.
And you don't need anything from Congress, by the way. You know, I didn't. I had the safest border in history, built 571 miles of wall, had another 200 miles already built, ready to go up. It would have been done in 3 weeks. And much more than I said we were going to do. We had the safest border in the history of our country, and now we have the worst border in the history of the world. No, there's never been a country with a border like this.
Hey, you mentioned prison, and they want to put you in prison. And the most shocking thing I've seen in a long time, Benny Thompson, who tries to come off as this avuncular kind of wise man, you know, from the January 6th committee, he wants to put you in prison without Secret Service. I don't know if you've seen this. I don't know if you've reacted to it yet, but he's got a proposal that would terminate Secret Service. Now, I don't think you're going to jail, but let's face it, theoretically, it could happen. He wants to deprive you of your Secret Service if you go to prison. These Democrats want you dead. You realize that?
Yeah, because I'm the one that turns things around. I'm the one that had the best economy.
Hey, hold on a second. Hey, quite frankly, isn't that a great question? And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, I'm struck by how comfortable and conversational I am with the most important human being in the universe right now. Right? Is there a more important one? And it sounds like I'm just talking to a pal of mine, and I consider him a pal, but he's also the president, you know. But I learned this a long time ago. It's not an act. It's not an act. It's always good to look comfortable, and to look comfortable, you actually have to be comfortable. You just have to be comfortable. Say, all right, that's it. You know what I mean? Might be the most important guy in the world. It doesn't matter. He's a person just like I am. You tell yourself these little tricks, and it helps you chill. And, anyway. I am enjoying this, actually. I don't actually listen to my own videos all that often. Keep going.
The one that had the best border in history. I'm the one that had the low energy prices, and we were respected all over the world, and we were doing things like nobody's ever done, and we had the best economy ever. I mean, if you think about it, we had energy prices at a level like nobody's ever seen. You know, we were number 3 or 4 in energy, and by the time I finished, after 2 years, we were number 1 by far. We were beating Saudi Arabia and Russia, and we were going to beat them both combined within a very short period of time. We're going to be an energy behemoth like nobody had ever seen before. You know, we have more liquid gold under our feet than any other nation, and nobody knows that. You know, nobody talks about it, and the Democrats don't know how to use it. Biden goes out and buys the oil from Venezuela, and it's bad oil, too, by the way. It's tar. We call it tar. Because, and we have the only plant that can refine it. It's in Houston. So, you know, you can imagine if they're talking about the environmentalists, what's pouring into the air from
tar. Do you think Biden knows all this stuff? Do you think Biden knows that about the plant in Houston and crude and tar and what's all that stuff? Of course not. Never in a million years. Just a goofy smile and his handout from money. Keep going.
We're getting a lot of our energy now from Venezuela. They used to be the enemy. Now all of a sudden they're getting rich because of this guy that doesn't have a clue what's happening. So we have to win or we're not going to have a country. We literally, and you cover it so well, we're not going to have a country. You can't have borders like that. You can't have a bad economy. He wants to raise taxes by 4 times what you're paying right now. Think of it. 4 times what you're paying right now, and the Green New Scam is taking up all our money.
Hold on, we got to take a quick break. I've never heard it called the Green New Scam. I missed the Green New Scam. All right, more Trump, more Cohn, more trial blowing up, and you guys. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh man, they're coming back to their old standby. Their old standby. Well, they were trying to influence an election. You're not allowed to influence an election. Oh my God. Yeah, you are actually. You are. I'm allowed to do everything I possibly can humanly to help Donald Trump win. All right. I can give money. I can promote stories that I like. I can get rid of stories I don't like. I'm pretty upfront about that. Oh, by the way, I happen to be pro Donald Trump. I want him to be president. Oh, I guess there is a little bit of a difference. If there is a negative story about Trump, what I generally do, because I'll look at it, because the guy is, quite frankly, fantastic, I'll be able to debunk it. That's what I love doing. One of my favorite projects was Mary Trump. Remember that? she's a real kind of this broad out in Rockville Center. And I saw her once at the 7-Eleven. She was buying beer. And she's on MSNBC all the time. She hates her uncle. I think she met him twice. She was born in 1966, which is, I believe, 2 years before Donald Trump graduated from college. And she goes around saying that she knows that Trump cheated on the SAT, which would have been taken by him 2 years before she was born. Now, I've done a couple of things that I probably should not have done. And I can tell you this, I have not told any of those deeds, any of my dirty deeds. Yes, there have been a few. I have not expressed them to my nieces. Yeah, they're not the ones I would tell. I don't tell nobody nothing, actually, about that stuff. Maybe a psychiatrist or two, a priest. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. All right, back to the Trump interview, please.
Green new scam, and that includes everybody has to have an all-electric car, which is impossible because you can't make that electricity, but, you know, these are minor details. But they want to go EV. They want to have electric vehicles at least 50% by in 6 years, and right now you're at 5%, and nobody wants them. And they're fine. You know, you should have a choice. You could have an electric car, but you have to have other types of cars, everything. There are a lot of different forms of engine and motors, and you have to be able to choose what you want. And we have the greatest manufacturing capability, but China had been stealing. I stopped it. Now they're going back again. You know, they're building the largest car factories in the world now in Mexico, and China's building them, and they think they're going to sell the cars into the U.S., but they won't do that if I'm president, I can tell you right now.
I want to ask you, and we also want to respect the gag order. I know, you know, got to watch it, but are you more or less likely, you think, to take the stand in the Manhattan case right now? I know.
Well, I would if it's necessary. Right now,
stop.
I don't know if you heard.
That was a big news-making question, by the way. It was actually I didn't want to ask too much about the case because, you know, he's not afraid to talk. But, you know, the last thing I want to do is add any kind of complication to his life. You know what's interesting, though? It is this reason. He's so reasonable. And if it doesn't sound that way, let me explain. Like, remember when he was talking about the immunity case? He said, you need immunity because when you do something, you shouldn't be prosecuted. Maybe it's the right thing. And sometimes it's the wrong thing. You need the immunity, maybe to end a war, or you may have to start a war. It's actually very nuanced, and it's actually kind of for the presidency as a thing. You know, Joe Biden would just be railing against gas guzzling cars. He never talks about the choice. Just there. Did you hear? Right? You can have an electric car if you want, but there should be a choice. In Joe Biden's America, in the Democrat America, it's actually not about choice. I'll get to the abortion thing later, all right? I'm not talking about that and what a scam that is, especially for women right now. Title IX is the thing you got to worry about. What is that? More when I come back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Oh, boy. These Supreme Court guys, they have ginormous brains. Now, you can usually follow it for the first couple of minutes, and then they go, whoa, way down constitutional rabbit holes. You have no idea what they're talking about. All these decisions from 1865, and Brownell versus Thompson, and in that case, in the adjudicate, it just gets so you don't know what they're talking about. Generally speaking, though, the earlier, the sooner you start the argument, the more basic and blunt and straightforward it is. So this guy's name, he's a for Trump. He's the Trump attorney, John Sauer. This is all related to the January 6th Jack Smith phony case, right? They want to send Donald Trump to jail for January 6th. It is a crime, that whole notion right there. But anyway, the president should have immunity on these issues. And that's what the lead lawyer here is saying. His name is John Sauer. D, initial D, John Sauer. That's very prestigious, by the way. I always wanted to do that to my own name. G. Raymond Kelly. Doesn't that just sound kind of august somehow? G. Raymond. Anyway, hit it, counselor.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it. For 234 years of American history, no president was ever prosecuted for his official acts. The framers of our Constitution viewed an energetic executive as essential to securing liberty. If a president can be charged, put on trial, and imprisoned for his most controversial decisions as soon as he leaves office, that looming threat will distort the president's decision-making precisely when bold and fearless action is most needed. Every current president will face de facto blackmail and extortion by his political rivals while he is still in office. The implications of the court's decision here extend far beyond the facts of this case. Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? The answer to all these questions is no. Prosecuting the president for his official acts is an innovation with no foothold in history or tradition and incompatible with our constitutional structure. The original meaning of the executive vesting clause, the framers' understanding and intent, an unbroken historical tradition spanning 200 years, and policy considerations rooted in the separation of powers all counsel against it. I welcome the court's questions.
All right. Wow. I could follow that. I could actually follow that. Again, it does get very, very esoteric is the word. Esoteric. But that was just the warm up. Let's see. This is, I hear, is pretty straightforward as well. And gets into it with Ketanji Brown Jackson, the newest Supreme Court justice. Remember, he promised it would be not only a woman, but a black woman. I find that probably so degrading to the black woman who ultimately gets nominated. What difference does that make? What about the Harvard Law degree? What about all the work I did? What about this? What about that? No, I'm just interested in your skin and your organs. Very sad. All right. This is Mr. Sauer versus the liberal justice. Go ahead.
Benjamin Franklin said, as we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that everybody cried out against as unconstitutional. And what George Washington said is, we're worried about factional strife, which will...
No, I'm also, let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
I respectfully disagree with that because the regime you've described is the regime we've operated under for 234 years. There has not been an expectation based on 234 years of unbroken political.
All right, let me ask you another question. Let me ask you another question about this.
All right, the constitutional watchers, the people who really know this stuff, says that that was a humiliating moment for Ketanji Brown Jackson. She was talking so fast, I really don't know if I totally agree. Do you? So is there anything else? Ooh, do we want to hear from Judge Kavanaugh? Boy, that guy went through hell. That guy went through hell, didn't he? All right, I'm going to come back to that. Hey, Chris Christie, the nerve of this guy. They're still making fun of him for this, and he deserves it. Chris Christie, you know, no friend of Trump, of course, because he's all out for Chris Christie. We all know that. Very selfish guy, bad governor. Remember his shtick? His shtick was just insulting teachers at those PTA meetings or union meetings or those town halls. Remember the time he started calling that veteran who was concerned about his campus closing, the Rutgers Law School or one of the satellite campuses closing? And he said, he's an idiot. I'm the governor, idiot. Sit down. The governor. I'm the governor. Talked about it like he was the emperor. I'm the emperor. What are you going to do about it, idiot? This is a guy, again, it all went to his head. It's too easy. But anyway, he's sitting there looking like a total slob. You can be overweight and be neat. I'm overweight right now, and I'm a little bit dumpy right now, but I'm no Chris Christie. My God. And this guy has the nerve to talk about Trump this way. Listen to this. Go ahead.
A criminal trial is a really awful thing to go through. And if you look at Trump physically right now, he looks terrible.
What? He looks like a warrior. Some people think he's on Ozempic. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks fantastic. The age is not an issue. He's leaner than he's been in years. And when Chris Christie says that, of course, he can barely fit into the chair. And he's got that belt, that thin belt that makes it look like, you know, it's he looks like a middle, like a planet. I've never seen, you know, there are people who are overweight. He's so round. And he's sitting there and he's railing against Trump. And he says, like, look, I know him. I know him. That's why I know more about him than you do. I don't think he knows him well at all. And you got to remember this about Chris. I know something about the arrangement that everybody has forgotten. Chris Christie worked with Trump, helped him get ready for the 2020 debates. He helped him get ready for the 2020 debates. All right. So Trump was president when? 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. And he was there getting ready for the debate. And now suddenly he's the worst person in the world. Why? Because of January 6th? So, Chris Christie, are you saying you buy all this crap about January 6th? He does, because the left-wing media does. And that's where he is truly at home. And that's where he wants to return, to those dopey Sunday panel shows. That's what they all live for. Just put me on one of those shows. You can have those shows. That's all he wants. That and more money and more food. And fake stories about, I don't want to bring her up. I don't want to bring her up, but I can't stand that guy. And I got a picture of him actually with Rudy Giuliani in the fall of 2020. They're at the White House and they're helping Trump get ready for the debate against Joe Biden. How about that one? Hey, where's Joe Biden been, by the way? Our friends in Israel are being slaughtered and they're being harmed here in America. And he is silent. Remember that whole silence is complicity thing? That stuff that his old man told him? Well, that's what I'm seeing right now. Right now it's happening. Hey, do me a favor. Cut sex 16. I don't really know or care what Eric Adams is up to half the time because he's not really the mayor. He's just a playboy. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's got two guys who are actually running the show as he's running around all over the place. But I am curious. Cut 16.
Nearly $112 billion. That's the new fiscal year budget proposed by New York Mayor Adams. Gone are most of the cuts the mayor at first thought would be needed. But he's still cutting millions from the libraries, cutting the popular composting program. And critics say hanging on to $1 billion just in case. Of course, that's something many New Yorkers do in their own budget. So is the city doing this that well? Where's the money coming from? The mayor says, yes, it's okay for now. Here's N.J. Burkett.
Stop. I actually like N.J. Burkett. Can't stand the fake news, but I like this N.J. guy. Keep going.
Mayor Adams is relentlessly optimistic. He insists that the city has more than recovered from the pandemic and the future is bright.
Like it or not, we're doing the damn thing.
That's right.
We're doing the damn thing.
He unveiled his 2025 budget, which restores most of the cuts he proposed last year. Funding restored to education, preschool, and municipal services. The NYPD will get two more academy classes, which means more officers on the streets and in the transit system.
We have not laid off one city worker. We have not raised taxes.
Critics, he says, should be pleased, but they're not.
We've maintained all along these cuts were never necessary in the first place, and we've got the money to restore these cuts, so let's just do it.
Council Budget Chairman Justin Brannon says the mayor is being too frugal. The fact is, tax revenue this year was more than $2 billion higher, but Adams' executive budget leaves more than $1 billion unspent. Money that could be spent on
libraries. I can't take it anymore. Can you? I will say this about the libraries. I was in one not too long ago, public library. Man, oh, man, oh, man. These things, really dirty. All kinds of, quite frankly, I'm sorry, but homeless people there. And, you know, I guess they don't have too many places to go. But I would love to see the libraries cleaned up a little bit. I love going to the library when I was a kid, the one on Grand Avenue in Baldwin. That was I took out all those Pilot Small books, Policeman Small, Pilot Small. I also like the Babar, the elephant, the Babar elephant one, right? That was fantastic. But the rest of it, not so much. Hey, put Carol on the phone. Is Carol there? Go ahead, please. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Greg?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Kathleen. I called yesterday.
And
I gave you the, and I said what they need to do is get the fire department.
I should have told you we're instituting a new, you can't call the station 30 days. You got to wait 30 days. You're calling yesterday? You got more, you got another update? All right, what's the update?
The update is 2 o'clock this morning, they turned on the sprinklers.
So, oh,
at
Columbia?
At Columbia.
Yeah, yep. That's fine. Good, yeah, but look, bringing out the hoses is a whole other ball of wax. You know that. And if you don't know that, you can look it up. And the firefighters aren't going to do that. They shouldn't do that. We need them to put out the fires. I know it would be fun. But, Carol, it wasn't a serious proposal. And if you are serious, I'm seriously telling you, it's a silly idea.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you in 30 days.
Yeah, bye. 30 days. No, I'm okay. You call back next week if you want. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, you can't do that. I do. So she talked about they put the sprinklers on for those Columbia kids who are still insisting on their anti-Jewish rage and nobody can go to school until Israel withdraws from Gaza and ceasefire and all this stuff. Ain't going to happen. We can talk about that right after they kill the last Hamas terrorist. Thank you very much. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. We love Trump. Hey. Isn't that cool? I just think it's so great. Construction workers very early this morning as Donald Trump had to be in court. Man, he gets there early. He's got to stay late. They're not fooling around anymore. No more half days. Full day Thursday, full day tomorrow. Some little things. I'm going through the transcript. This is unusual. They're actually posting the transcript every night so you can see what's actually going on in that room and you can see what a disgrace all of this is. The little things. It's even the little things that I don't like. So here's a guy who gets up, it's the prosecutor, and he's complaining about all of Trump's Truth Social posts, trying to get him into trouble, trying to get him held in contempt. And Donald Trump still has a right to tweet political things. And the defense is saying, look, if he says make America great again in the tweet, that's obviously political. It makes the whole thing political. So the lawyer, the prosecutor says, I am not sure there could be a straight-faced argument that these posts, all within the last 12 days, are somehow not related to this criminal proceeding. And throwing MAGA into the post doesn't make it political. It makes it ominous. It makes it ominous? Make America great again makes it ominous? How is that? You see where they're coming from? They hate MAGA. And they have, some of them have tricked themselves or allowed themselves to be tricked, or they're just lying or whatever. But MAGA, to a lot of people, is, oh, gosh, that's the right-wing extremists. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's about having a border. It's about not sexualizing children. It's about not getting into needless foreign wars and then proceeding to lose them. It's about respect for life. It's about not having 44% taxation for capital gains. Have you heard that one? They think that's going to target the rich. You wait. You wait. That will tank the economy. That will screw the working man. There is a real trickle-down effect. Reagan was not wrong. They know it. Man, now that Biden has made his money, he does not want you to have yours. MAGA makes it ominous. How about that? Let's see here. The defendant is having his day in court. Unfortunately, he is still doing everything he can to undermine this process. It has to stop. How is he undermining the process? By speaking his mind? Right? Why is it that everybody in the world, including me, including you, we can rip on our congressman, we can rip on our mayor, we can rip on our councilman? That's our right, that's our duty, that's our obligation, that's certainly our option, don't you think? You can praise them, you can criticize them. You can do it to the legislative branch, you could do it to the executive branch, but wait a second, you can't do it to the judicial branch? Why the hell not? Why not? If I'm going in front of a congressional hearing, I can argue with those guys. I can say whatever I want. And they can try to hold me in contempt, I guess. But the whole country holds those people in contempt. Now, why can't I say things about the court? Why can't Donald Trump say things? He's in the middle of this. What makes them so special? Why is it that in every other kind of political, any other governmental transaction or forum or whatever, you're allowed to be critical. You're allowed to. This is, but not here. And it's true. Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, all of them have been ripping Donald Trump to shreds on Twitter, or at least it hasn't worked, but they're yelling and screaming their heads off, not only on Twitter, in podcasts, in books, on TV shows. And quite frankly, I think it's their right. I don't like them. I disagree with them, but they're allowed to do that. But Trump isn't allowed. It's insane. And who is this guy, Judge Mercheron, anyway? Juan Mercheron. You know, what makes him so special? Why is everybody kissing his ass? Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. Oh, my gosh, Your Honor. Yes. And what's up with the black robe? I'm actually really serious about this. Bloomberg appointed something like 450 different judges. You know who this guy is? He's a Bloomberg appointee. He was appointed by Bloomberg. What's the big deal about being a judge? I mean, I don't know if everybody's entitled to respect. You earn respect, don't you? We don't have to, because he's wearing a black robe, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Everybody stand, all rise. Screw that crap. That needs to go. This is a tradition. I don't know why. You know where it stems. You know where it comes from. Lawyers being obsequious with the judge because they want to get on the judge's good side. And these judges, these lawyers, often have to appear in court again, so they want to stay on the lawyer's good side. Well, I don't give a damn, and I don't think Trump does either, and the whole damn thing is a farce, and he should be. I think he has a duty to speak out, but the gag order, they're not – I mean, can you imagine if they try to throw him in jail? It's just – some other things here. That judge is giving the defense a hard time every single time something comes up. Your Honor, we look at Mr. Avenatti's tweet. You don't have to interpret or read into it, but we have to be able to have some inference for what Mr. Avenatti means when he is saying that. And what he was saying was he was ripping on Michael Cohen and how unfair this is to Donald Trump. We got his tweet. And this is what the judge says. Have you spoken with Mr. Avenatti about what he means? Mr. Blanche, Trump's lawyer. No, of course not. The judge. How can you interpret what he means when you haven't spoken to him? Mr. Blanche, from his words, the words he's using. We don't have to talk to Mr. Avenatti. We have to interpret what he's written. Like, what can you know about the law if you didn't talk to the lawmaker, judge? You interpret the words, you bonehead. I am sick of this guy. Sick of his the daughter making money off of this case. He couldn't even be on the jury, let alone judge the case. It's crazy.